And, you know, some of the things we've been talking about over the last week or so have been that man hasn't changed much. He still sins the same way he did 4,000 years ago. And so the words that were written 4,000 years ago seem still appropriate, and that's to awake and put off your slumber.
Awake, O ye Christ, put off thy slumber, and the truth shall make you free. For out of Zion comes thy deliverer in the year of Jubilee.
Oh, hallelujah,
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 hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
oh, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Out of the furnace of much affliction I have chosen.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're glad to be here. We got a call, sometime last year, and your pastor asked me to come, and I was asleep at that time. I don't know what you all do in San Antonio at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but in Brownsville, that's good sleeping time. And that's usually the time I always take a little nap, and I was in the middle of my nap. And God knew why he had your pastor called me at that time, because I was half sleepy. You know, lately I've gotten into the disposition that I don't like to go out much and preach, but he caught me half sleeping before I knew what I said yes, I'd come. And then, you know, when I was wide awake that day, he said, he did say a whole week. But you know, I begin to pray and I begin to seek God, what God would have us do, and I am more convinced than ever that God would have us to come and preach this week and share with you. And one of the evidences that I know that God wanted us to come is because some of the messages that he gave me for this week. We sought God. Our church prays every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. We've done it now for two or three years. Five, six men before they go to work come by the church and we pray. And we've been asking God that God would do something this day that we're here in San Antonio. But I'll tell you one thing I know already, just getting here, that not only is God at work, but our adversaries also at work. You know, as I got into the airport, it used to be that fly out of the valley and come in here, oh, get in here around 4 o'clock, but they took some flights out, and as I got off the plane and went to Houston to wait an hour and a half to get the second plane, I went out to eat something, and as I came up there, there was a big old line of people, and here is 10 minutes before boarding time, and they tell him, well, I'm sorry, it's standing room only, you know, and you know, move to a side, you know, you'll have to put on a waiting list. And the lady said, well, I got a ticket. And she said, well, I know, but we can overbook and we're sorry. And I said, oh my. But I stayed in line. And you know, when I got up there, this lady, she says, where have you been? We've been looking for you. And gave me a pass and I got on board. How about that? When I wasn't ready for it, to go sit back in the smoking section. So I wasn't ready for that, but that's the only chair that was available, so we took it. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke tonight. And let's go to chapter 19 tonight for the message. You know, as we see the times that we're living in, we know that our Lord's return is at hand.
Amen.
But I want to deal tonight, as we pray, what happens when Jesus returns? You know that he's coming back, for we are living in between his ascension and his return. But what happens when he returns? Luke chapter 19, verse 11 is our text. But let us pray first. Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come and preach.
Amen.
And Lord, we realize, Father, that we're not accustomed to preaching in English, and Father, I would just pray that my train of thought may be changed and that I may think in English, that I may speak in English.
Amen.
Lord, I just pray you'd loosen my tongue and you'd bring back to memory those verses of Scripture that are dear to my heart that I've memorized in English, that I may be able to quote Scripture from thy word to thy people this week. Lord, we take nothing for granted, not the fact that we're here, not the fact that we were invited. We take nothing for granted, for we are nothing. And Father, we can accomplish nothing without the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit of God, we come tonight and submit ourselves to thy will and what you'd have us preach and how you'd have us preach it.
Amen.
And we just ask for your leadership in everything that we do this week that we spend here. Lead us and guide us and bless the hearts of those that need to be blessed. And Spirit of God, blister the hearts of those that need to be blistered. And we just pray that your work would be done. And Father, when it's all said and done, we'll give you the glory, you the praise, and we'll say, surely God met with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God shall immediately appear. As Jesus neared Jerusalem, rumors began to circulate that he planned to overthrow Rome. These people said, oh, the kingdom of God, he's coming to establish it. And let me tell you that this was reasonable. After all, this was the Passover when he was coming. This was within reason, for the Passover was at hand. But as we continue to read, he gave them this parable, and the parable in verse 12 says, "And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went unto a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded his servants to be called unto him and to whom he had given the money, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou hast done, good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, and thou shalt have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound is gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, and saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up where thou hast laidest not down, and reapest thou where thou hast not sown. And he said unto him, out of thy mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up what I lay not down, and reaping where I not sow. Wherefore then gave not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have received my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even what he hath shall be taken away from him. But this my enemies, which would not that I shall reign over them, bring hindrance and slay them before me." In this verse of scripture that we've read, we will find 3 different kinds of people. These people are represented in this crowd tonight. We find here the faithful servant, we find here the unfaithful servant, and we find the enemies of the Lord, those that stand in enemy against, that did not want this Lord to reign over them. Amen. This crowd represents these 3 types of people. As we look in this scripture, we will find that the Lord, if he returns, he gave a job to every Christian to do. Not only do we find that, but we know that he shall return, but we know that when he does return, he will deal with his 3 kinds of people. But I would like to take into consideration what that pound is. You know, that pound speaks of money. And as we look into that pound, this is something that one of them had. Let me say that this parable is not a parable of salvation, but a parable of service.
Amen.
As we look at this, we look what he did before leaving. Before he left, in verse 13, he says, occupy till I come. There is a very blessing in when speaking Spanish and reading Spanish. In Spanish it says, do business till I come. Let me tell you, not only to occupy, he says, be about the business. Be doing some business till I come. Take this thing that I've given unto you. He gave them. They knew their responsibility. They had this pound. This pound was an equivalent to $20. And they had to do business with it. They knew their responsibility. Let's not get confused with this parable and the parable of the talents. In the parable of the talents, it only speaks of 3 servants. Each one had a different amount depending on individual ability. A talent is represented by the opportunity to use the ability. But in this parable, each servant received the same amount. Each person here tonight that's saved has received this pound from the Lord. And this pound from the Lord was given to you, and I believe that this pound is nothing else but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. chapter 2 and verse 4, as we find out what this pound might be. I really believe that this pound that's been entrusted to us, that we're to do business with, I believe it's the gospel. I saw a church that said, souls are our business, our only business. And let me tell you that this ought to be the business of the church, that we ought to be about taking the gospel to those that don't have the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, but as we are allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even as we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Amen. Now let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11 for another verse of scripture. And you'll see that this pound is the gospel. And it says, according to the gracious gospel of the blessed Lord, which is commanded to my trust. Now 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 20, it speaks of that entrusted gospel again. And it says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and of science falsely so called. It says, listen, commit yourself to that thing that's been entrusted unto you. Amen. We're to commit ourselves to the gospel. The gospel has been entrusted unto us. In another verse of scripture, I believe it's over there, 2 Timothy 2:2, it says that this treasure, let's turn and read the scripture. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which thou hast heard of me according to many witnesses, this same commit thou unto faithful men, which shall be able to teach others. You see, this gospel, we are to do business with this gospel. And then we're to command it unto faithful men. We're to reproduce ourselves. This gospel is to be reproduced in the hearts of men and women. For the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels that is exceedient of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So I believe we understand that this parable speaks of service. And this parable speaks that this service that we're to do, this pile that was entrusted unto us, is the gospel. And each one of us has a responsibility before God with the gospel.
Amen.
Listen, you cannot excuse yourself for not doing business with the gospel.
Amen.
You cannot excuse yourself for no reason for not doing business with the gospel. The Lord has not given you a big load to carry. The Bible says right there in that verse of scripture, very plainly, says that as he left, he gave them 10 pounds, and he said, he gave them each a pound. Listen, the Lord didn't load you up with something that didn't work. The Lord didn't load you something that wouldn't, listen, the Lord didn't give you something that wouldn't produce. The Lord didn't give you a cow that won't give milk.
Right.
He didn't give you something that ain't going to produce. Listen, this seed is incorruptible seed. If you plant it, it'll produce fruit in anywhere that it's planted. This Bible, this Word of God, this gospel is bare fruit and gospel. So He didn't sell us a load of hay. He gave us something that we could use. In verse 16 through verse 19 of the same scripture, we will find that nine of this men, and I presume nine, it speaks of two, but it says it was 10, and it only rebukes one. So I perceive that all nine of them did good with it.
Yeah. Amen.
For it says that they multiplied. One 10, another 5. You see, what God blesses is faithfulness. God blesses faithfulness. David's faithfulness. He was faithful as a shepherd, and God rewarded him with a kingdom. God blesses faithfulness. If you'll be faithful with what God gives you to do, listen, if you'll be faithful with what God gives you to do, God will bless your faithfulness.
Amen.
You know, I find all the time people that feel a calling to preach. I find all the time when you go to a church, you find a man, he says, Brother Victor, I feel the calling to preach, and all I'm waiting is for God to lead me to the field. The question you must ask yourself, what's the matter with this field?
Amen.
What's the matter with the field outside that door?
Amen.
What's the matter with this locality? What's the matter with your neighborhood? What's the matter with your school?
Amen.
What's the matter with the place where you work? What's the matter with your relatives? What are you doing with the field God's already given you?
Amen.
For you see, you're either a missionary or a mission field.
That's right. Amen.
for what you're doing with the field that God's already given you. God will give you no other field till you've done something with this field.
Amen.
God will give you no other. God will give you no more gospel till you've done something with the gospel and with the pound that He has entrusted you to do business with. You see, what will happen if you're not faithful now, you won't be faithful then.
That's right.
You see, once you're in the ministry full time, you'll have per se no time clock to punch. You'll have no time clock to punch and say, well, it's 8 o'clock, got to go to work. And you see, once you're on a foreign field, you won't have a pastor right there over you telling you, brother, aren't you going to get up and go share the gospel with somebody? So you better get into some good habits while you are here, while you do have a pastor that checks up on you every now and then, see what time you get up in the morning to go share the gospel. You better do it while you got somebody that does knock on your door and find out how come you weren't on church tonight, or why you weren't in church for the last week or the last weekend or the last service. You see, you better do something with it. Now, God rewards faithfulness.
Amen.
These men were rewarded. They were faithful and they were rewarded. Now, as we look what their reward was, they were rewarded according to their faithfulness. Let's note some things. Please note that not all had the same success. This is one of the areas that people have. I'll tell you, if there's one word that just about turns me off to hear is hear somebody says, would you come hear this person? They're very successful. I mean, I got it to where I hear the word and I it just turns me off, you know.
Yeah.
Because the average, you know, Jonah was one of the most successful preachers that ever was, and he was one of the most rebellious that ever was. And as a matter of fact, he was so successful that he won in 40-day revival, he won a whole city to God. But you know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, God didn't mention him.
Yeah.
No.
But Jonah, Noah, I'm sorry, Noah was so faithful for over 100 years, and he got his family saved, and I got some doubts about some of his kids being saved, but you know, he got in that ark, and that's all he got saved. 8 people were saved. And God puts His name down here as being faithful. God rewards faithfulness. Not everybody succeeds according. Not everybody. No, not all of the same had the same success. One had 10 times more. Another one had 5 times more. But let me say, faithfulness is a secret to growth. He will give us more if we're faithful in little. If this man had reason to be faithful, you and I even have even a greater reason to be faithful. If this man in the Bible had a reason to be faithful to God, we have even a greater responsibility. For you see, we're on this side of Calvary. We're on this side of a Bible, a full Bible.
Amen.
We have the Word of God to us. We have to, at our disposition, we have the ability to travel. We have the ability to print. We have the ability to have church and have buildings that we call church. Listen, God rewards faithfulness. These men were rewarded on account of their faithfulness. So you see, if you're faithful with what God's given you, God will give you more.
Amen.
If you're faithful, you see, one day this church, someone laid on the preacher's heart and they came out here, and I don't know the beginning of this church, but if it's like any other church, it probably started in somebody's living room.
Right.
And from there, God, they were faithful in that living room to accomplish, to do what God told them to do. And then God gave them a piece of property somewhere, then gave them a building somewhere, and they were faithful there. And as I can see this second time I've come back, y'all have even a greater building. You see, God rewards faithfulness. It all depends what we've been doing with the gospel.
Amen.
You know why a lot of these big empty churches are having problems? They ain't been faithful with the gospel.
That's right.
You say, I wonder why those big churches are empty. You know why they build them so big? Because one day somebody was faithful to the gospel and those churches were being filled because someone was preaching the gospel and some church members were getting out there and they were taking out the gospel. But somewhere people got careless about the gospel and they thought there was other things more important to do.
Right.
They got away from preaching the gospel and from sharing the gospel. And today those churches are big, enormous, and they're empty. Because God rewards faithfulness. But let us see something here. Let me say something. The Lord didn't promise them anything. The Lord didn't promise his servants anything. He told them what they were to do, but there was no promises attached. He did not tell them, listen, you go ahead and do business with this gospel, and I'll reward you. This is what I'll give you. No, there was no promises here. But let us for a minute consider the unfaithful servant. Consider this three facts about this unfaithful servant. In verse 20 to 26, and they came another and said, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. He knew his job, but he did not do it. He knew what God had told him to do, but he did not do his job. And now he's coming over here, and as we'll see in a few minutes, he's begun to make excuses for not doing what God told him to do. And look what he says in that verse of Scripture. He goes on to say, and he says, Lord, behold. But you know over there in John 6:46, it says, why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?
Amen.
You know, we have a lot of people calling Jesus Lord, never do a thing he says.
That's right.
You know, they say, oh Lord Jesus, but they never do a thing the Lord tells them to do. The Lord said, no use you calling me Lord if you ain't going to do what I tell you. This man, he knew his job, but he didn't do it. This is something I wrote down here. I guess we could put excuse number one. Maybe he said, this ain't a great sum of money. He said, you know, Lord, all you gave me was 1 pound here. I mean, you know, this ain't a whole lot. What could I do with this? Possibly we could say all it was is a tract. All I got in my head is one little tract that's got some scripture on it. Now, Lord, what could I do with this little tract? But you know, I'm sure if I would ask tonight, there's people here that were saved through a tract. There's people here that were saved because someone took them and gave them a tract and they were rich. This man used the excuse. He said, this ain't a great sum of money. Why worry about it? Why put it to work? It ain't a whole lot. I tell you, it don't take a whole lot.
Amen.
The Lord said, if you will have as much faith as a mustard seed. Hey, I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but it ain't very big. But maybe this man here, his second excuse, I'm ashamed to go to the bank with such a little deposit. The Lord said, well, listen, if you didn't want to do no business with it, why'd I put it in the bank? And when I come, I'd have interest with it. Well, maybe he was ashamed to go to the bank. Maybe he said, you know, if I take this $20 to the bank, they're going to laugh at me at the bank. But you know, Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Listen, we shouldn't be ashamed of that gospel. This man didn't put it in the bank. He didn't let it draw interest. He just kept it right there. He just kept it to himself. He just put it in a napkin. That's what a lot of people do with their Bibles. They don't put it in a napkin. They put it in a Bible cover. Now, nothing wrong with that. This Bible don't have a cover, but all my Bibles have a Bible cover. But it all depends why you cover it.
Amen.
My Bible's got Bible covers, but I cover it to protect it.
Yeah.
A lot of people cover it to hide it. Now, I don't ask everybody to carry a Bible this big, but I do question some people that carry one so small that they can hide it anywhere. This man, he was ashamed to go to the bank with a little deposit. Maybe his third excuse is, why bother to do business? Maybe his, what am I going to get out of this? You see, the Lord hadn't promised him anything. This man said, well, where's my share? What am I going to get out of this? He said, just do business. He gave me so little to do business with. I'm ashamed to go to the bank with it. What am I going to get out of it? Hey, don't think of what you're going to get out of it. Think what it already did for you.
Amen.
Think what the gospel's done for you. If the gospel would do nothing else for us, we could just think what it has already done for us.
Amen. Amen.
Right. In many cases, it saved us from being in a crazy house. It saved us from losing our minds. It saved us from being in prison. It saved us from losing our family. It saved us from losing our kids. It saved us from losing our job. It saved us from losing our health. If it did nothing more for us, it's already done plenty for us.
Amen.
This man was considering what it did for him. Or maybe I've got here excuse number four, the Mexican curse. I don't know how I can apply this here, but you know what the Mexican curse is? It's called later. I just do it later. That's what my notes say here, Mexican curse. Later. One of these days, I'll get around to it, Pastor. One of these days I'll get around to sharing the gospel with someone else. One of these days. You know, I remember when I first got saved, I got saved on a Sunday. Pastor said, Thursday night, we're having visitation. Well, I didn't know what visitation was. I figured it was a gathering where all the visitors went. So I went there. The pastor said, Brother Victor, you ready to go to visitation? I said, yes. And we went door to door. And all of a sudden, you know, my pastor said, tell you what, you go knock on that house, give them a track. Well, man, I got in, knocked on that house over there, and these people come to the door, and I said, could I give you some literature? And they said, who are you? I said, my name's Victor. He said, what kind of literature? I said, I don't know, let me read it. God's my witness, I didn't know what it was. I said, it says something up here, where will you be 5 minutes after death? And that man said, come on in. I went on in, I sat down. And he started, he was a Jehovah's Witness, and he started telling me all about death, and all about hell, and all about this thing. And I just sat there, and I couldn't argue with him. I never had a Bible. I said, is that right? How about that? You know, and I said that, and he told me all of this, and I said, well, you know, I wish one day I know as much Bible as you do. You know, I said, all I know is that I used to be an old dope head, and Jesus came into my heart, and he changed me.
Amen.
And I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure it's good. I didn't know who I was talking to. I said, if one day, I wish I understand the Bible the way you understand the Bible. I said, but you know, all I know is that Jesus changed my life.
Amen.
And pastor said to come give you this little tract, and I got to go because I'll miss my ride. Bye. I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem with this unfaithful story, I tell you, we were better witnesses when we didn't know half as much as we know today.
That's right.
You check yourself out. You were a better witness when you knew half as much Bible
That's
as
right.
you know today.
That's right.
The more you understand the Scripture, the lazier we become.
Amen.
That's
true. Listen, we didn't know anything about anything. There's some things we didn't even suspect. I mean, the day they got us straight on eternal security, most of us lost our seal and our fire to serve God. They should have left us hanging out there in limbo, but if we could have lost it, then at least we'd be out there trying to keep it. But we got so secure, and I said, well, who cares, you know? Who cares? I'm going to heaven. I do my share. I help missionaries preach the word, and I leave a track when I go to the restaurant. Hey, you don't need to leave a track when you go to a restaurant. You need to leave a, don't be so cheap. Leave something with that track. I tell you, a lot of people, they just leave a plain old track there. Don't leave a track. Leave a dollar with that track. And if you ain't gonna leave a dollar, don't bother leaving the track. The problem this man had, he was unfaithful because his heart was not right with his master. That was all his problem. He didn't need to make no excuses. He was unfaithful because his heart wasn't right with his master. And you check yourself out. The moment that your heart ain't right with your master, you'll become unfaithful. You'll become unfaithful to attend church. You'll become unfaithful to give liberally the way you used to give. You'll become unfaithful to pray. You'll become unfaithful to read the Scripture. You'll become unfaithful to serve the Lord. You'll become unfaithful to witness and to share the gospel. Our problem is when we become unfaithful is because our heart is not right with our master. If you were to ask this fellow here, do you believe the Lord's coming back? He would say, of course I believe that. If I were to ask you today, do you believe the Lord's coming back? Remember, I am preaching what will happen when the Lord returns. Do you believe the Lord's coming back? And you probably would say, of course I believe the Lord's coming back. Then the next question is, if we believe He's coming back, why don't we live like we believe?
Amen. Amen.
How come our talk and our walk don't line up? You would ask this fellow, hey, this guy's theology was excellent, but his practice was terrible. Nothing wrong with what this guy believes. The problem with the unfaithful servant is what he practices.
Amen.
The servant did not love his master. He feared him. And let me tell you, that's one of the biggest curses that Christians can fall under, when they fear their Lord instead of loving their Lord. If you serve the Lord out of fear, I'll tell you, you need to check up on your heart. And listen, you might as well start checking up on your salvation. Because I find out that the Lord, for God so loved the world. And listen, when we realize the love of God, and we accept the love of God sharing our hearts, it will bring gratitude. It will bring gratitude. It will bring gratitude. This man did not love his Lord. He feared his Lord. This man was in fear of his Lord. He feared what his Lord would do. Listen, God, if God wasn't a loving God, and if God wasn't a compassionate God and a merciful God, listen, God, the first time we stepped out of line, God could come down and call us home. They don't need fear in the Lord. Because I tell you, the more you fear the Lord, you won't serve Him any better, and you won't live any better. But I tell you one thing, the more you love the Lord, you'll serve Him better, and you'll live better. Amen. Gratitude makes better servants than fear. Love makes better servants than fear. Let me tell you something else about this man. This man's a liar. This man here is lying when he's talking about the Lord. He's a liar. You say, how come he's lying? Well, he says right here in verse 22, he says, and he said, out of thy mouth, well, let's go a little bit back. He said right here, let me see, verse 21, for I feared thee, because thou art an ostent man. That means you're hostile. He said, Lord, he said, you're crude. You reap where you've not sown. That's a lie. The Lord said over there in Matthew, in Matthew 11:29, He said, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly. Hey, my Lord ain't that way. He don't go around reaping where He ain't sown. Let me show you a verse of Scripture. 1 John 5:3. This man's accusing the Lord of things the Lord ain't done. You know, that happens many times to us. Something happens to us and we just blame the Lord. He said, well, Lord, if you hadn't done that for me, I wouldn't be in this predicament. It's easier to blame the Lord. Let's go to 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Listen, the Lord hadn't given this man a grievous commandment to keep. There was no use him saying the Lord was, how do you pronounce that word here? Austere. Oh, he's saying, Lord, you just mean. I mean, you're just too demanding. No, His commandments are not grievous. This man is right out lying about his Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is long-suffering.
Amen.
He's meek. He's lowly. His unfaithfulness cost him his reward. This man lost his reward. He lost his opportunity to rule a city. Hey, that's pretty good. The Lord says, all I want you to do is to take this pound of gospel and invest it. Now, he didn't have to get 10. He didn't have to get 5. All he had to do was get 1. That's all he needed to do, was reproduce that pound of gospel in one person, and he could have gotten to rule a city. He lost his pound in verse 25. And there's a Bible principle here. The biblical principle is that if we do not use what we have, we may lose it.
That's right. Amen.
But what we gain will gain us more. Did you follow me? If we do not use what we have, we will lose it. I am reminded of the pelican. Not of the pelican, of the penguin. They say that the penguin is a bird. I didn't think it was a bird. I never seen him fly. But the penguin is a bird. But you know, a penguin can't fly. You know why? Because they say that over there in Australia, they say that over there they live in those places, and they say that there's no need to fly. They say it's like a little paradise. They just walk around to where they've lost the ability to fly. I read in Reader's Digest that there was some seagulls over here in Florida, on the west coast of Florida. There was a tuna factory. And this tuna packing, they'd throw out all this wasted tuna, and all the seagulls would eat it. And then they changed that factory from the west coast of Florida to the east coast of Florida, and all those seagulls died. And they say, why did they die? And they started checking. Reader's Digest said the reason they died, for a long time, they had no reason to fly. For they had been eating out of what was that plant, that packing house, tuna pack, left out there. And when they moved the packing house, they couldn't move with it. And they died because there was nowhere to fly. And I tell you, a lot of people will lose their... They'll lose what they have if they don't use it. That ability God's given you, you'll lose it if you don't use it. That knowledge of the Word of God, that Scripture that God has opened your eyes to see, you'll lose it if you don't use it. That God won't give you more light than what you need. God won't give you more. You can't handle more light than what you use. God won't give you more light than what you need, and you can't handle more than what you can use. You say, what happens for a person that gets too much light and they don't use them? You ever seen them? They go crazy. They don't use it. They're just always thinking. Always thinking. That's why they walk around. They're nutty. Some of the nuttiest people today were one day some of the smartest people there was. You say, what happened to them? Got nutty. They never used what they had. You know, a lot of Christians, they find a little nugget here. They never share it with nobody. They just hoard it. Oh my, look what the Lord showed me. Look what the Lord showed me. And before long, the Lord ain't showing you nothing no more. You say, man, you know, Lord ain't showing me nothing no more. No, because if we don't use it, we'll lose it. But it will use it. But what we gain will gain us more. And I'll show you an example. Would I ask here tonight somebody that's here because somebody else brought them to church or led them to Christ or witnessed to them? Would there be somebody raise your hand and says, I'm here because there's somebody in this church when they shared the gospel with me and I'm saved. Would there somebody here who could raise their hand? There's somebody here that shared the gospel. Now let me ask you one question. Now have you, that same person raised your hand and says, I'm here because someone else in this congregation shared the gospel with me. Now that person, is there someone else that's here because now you shared the gospel with someone else? Is there? Now watch and see. That first person that shared the gospel, what they gain has gained them more. That's what the principle is here. The Lord is saying, now to him that hath ten, give him more. Him that hath ten, give him more. Give him more. He lost his reward. The master, he could have been the master of many cities. Let me say, the master has many cities to share. Amen. You see, he is the owner of this world. He is the owner of this world. There's so many. Have you imagined just how many cities there is in the state of Texas? Just think of the state of Texas. That's half the United States. You know, that's a pretty big state. Just think of how many cities there is in the state of Texas. So just in one country, how many cities there are. Now think in the world. Hey, my Lord has plenty of cities to share. He wants to share. He wants to reward us. He's coming again. And he's bringing, the Bible says over there in Revelation, that as he comes, he's bringing his reward with him.
Amen.
And his reward, he wants to reward us. He wants to make you rulers of those cities when he sets his kingdom. But listen, what are you doing with the gospel? He said, occupy, do business with this gospel till I come. Now, what are you doing with the gospel? Turn with me to 2 John verse 8. Look to themselves that we lose not the things which we have worth, but that we receive a full reward. Make sure you don't lose what's already yours. Be sure you get a full reward.
be sure you get a full reward. You know, there's a lot of Christians that ain't going to get a full reward. You know, the Bible speaks over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that the works will be burned up and they will be saved as by fire. Listen, it don't have to be that way. You can come in with a full reward. You don't have to come in second. You can come in first. You don't have to come in on the last train. You can come in on the first train. You can come with those that are rewarded. But the Bible goes on, that verse of Scripture speaks of another group. Those rebellious citizens. Those that didn't want Him to reign over them. Those that said in verse 14, He says, but the citizens hated Him and sent a message after Him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. Now you say, I'm not an enemy of God. Yes, God's made you His enemy. God's made you His enemy. The Lord said, him that is not with me is against me. On, let's turn to the book of Romans and I'll show you that. Romans chapter 5. Now, you ain't calling God your enemy. No. God's calling you His enemy. Look what Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. When we were enemies, and any person that is not saved is an enemy of God. And let me tell you why, what makes you an enemy of God. That verse 14 that I just read said, but the citizens hated Him and sent a message, we will not have this man reign over us. I'm telling you here tonight, if you ain't saved, your attitude, the way you live, you're saying, I don't want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I don't want to trust Him as Lord. I want to do as I please. I want to be my own boss. I want to run my own life. And what you're actually saying is, I don't want this man to be my Lord. But I'll tell you, the Bible says that He is Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says that every knee shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You'll confess that He's Lord in this life and be saved, or you'll confess that He's Lord in the life to come and be eternally condemned. But you will confess that He is Lord.
Amen.
The Bible goes on to say that this world belongs to Him. He's the creator of it. In the beginning was the world, and the world was made by Him, and He was. The Bible says in John, the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not one thing made that was made. He is the creator of the world. You better reconcile. You better be reconciled to Him today. You better make peace with this Lord. You better come to Him in peace. For He's come to you in peace. He's come to you with pierced arms, with pierced hands, and a pierced eye. And He's pleaded with you, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's come to you and say, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my word and open up, I will come in and dine with him. He comes to you pleading. He says, come now, let us reason together. He comes pleading with you to make peace and to be reconciled with you. You better reconcile yourself to Him. For if you wait till the day that He returns again, He will not come as a lamb, but He will come as a lion out of the tribe of Judah, and He will come back as a judge. And on that day, He'll only see you as an enemy of His cause, and as an enemy of the gospel, as an enemy of God, and He'll judge you accordingly. As I close, I ask you, which one of these are you? Would you be considered tonight a faithful steward? Would you be considered tonight an unfaithful steward? What have you done with the gospel? Or are you simply tonight lost without God? I'll tell you how you can know if you're lost without God. One man asked me one day, he said, Brother Victor, what do you know? He said, how do I know I'm saved? I said, sir, if you walked in the building, would you know if the lights are on or off? He said, of course. I said, if you're ever saved, the lights will be on.
Amen.
You'll know. He said, that simple? I said, that simple. If you're saved, the light will be on.
There'll be a witness in your heart that'll bear witness with your spirit that you are the sons of God. For the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Not only should we ask which of these are, but we have to ask, have you invested the gospel so that it is producing dividends in your life? Have you invested this gospel that's been entrusted onto you? Or what excuses are you giving for your unfaithfulness? What is your excuse? This man had several. Which is yours? What new ways? What new ways of multiplying the gospel have you come with up lately? You know, there's a lot of ways to share the gospel. We had a party last night. That's how I caught a cold. I'm thinking now that my wife isn't going to be preaching this week, so I should have not given her my coat. She could have caught the cold. But anyway, I didn't want her to catch the cold, so I gave her my coat. But you know, we went, this lady in the church says, Pastor, I'd like to have a party. And you know, she's always said she's 18 years old, and man, she looks like she's 60-something. I don't know why she says she's 18. Anyway, it turns out that she's 72. Yes. But she was born on February the 29th, leap year, so she only has a birthday every 4 years, so actually she's only 18. So the other three times a year, she cheats. She cheats. You know, yesterday we had her party, because this year ain't a leap year, so she says, I'm having a party, and I'm inviting a lot of lost people out to my party. So she said, I want the church to come out. So I said, all right. She says, bring plenty of chairs and tables, and we're going to have tamales, and man, we're going to have cakes. And boy, this lady threw a big old party right in the parking lot of her apartment building. She lives in some apartments. I'm asking you, which new ways are you using to multiply the gospel? And we got there and I saw all that. And I tell Lupe, I said, start singing. Man, not only the people came to the party, about 20 people lost there, but some people came out of the apartments out to see what we were doing. He started singing there, and then I had someone else sing a special, and then I had someone else get up and give a testimony. Then I said, Lord, you know, I prepared everything, but I forgot what I'm going to preach. And you know, I said, well, this is a birthday party. Give me a good message, Lord, for a birthday party. And the Lord said, well, look at John chapter 3. Ask them if they had a spiritual birth. I said, yeah, that's right. So I preached for 15 minutes. I said, listen, what kind of birthday party do you celebrate? I celebrate two kinds. I celebrate the 10th of October as my physical birth, and I celebrate the 14th of September as my spiritual birth. And we preached the gospel, and people listened. And there was a couple of people that were touched, and someone dealt with them about their soul. What new ways are you doing to multiply the gospel? Have you come up with any new ways lately? You know, I find people that as you share this with them, they come up with ideas. They say, you know, Pastor, we could do this. Then I find out people that come up with excuses. He said, well, I don't think that'll work. I don't think that'll work here. Well, how do you know? You ever died? No. Well, don't you think it worked over there? Oh, yeah, but you don't know my neighborhood. You know, I went, I had a man from Spain in my church a while back, and I asked him, I said, how come people ain't being rich in Spain? And this is what this man told me. He said, because in Spain, we Spaniards, we preach to the head. Oh. So last year they sent Brother Humberto over there. He's an evangelist, and he preached to the heart. And 20 people got saved, and they all got baptized. And I got a letter the other day from the pastor over there and says, you know, he said, they're all in church. You know, we need to come up with ideas by sharing the gospel, not excuses. Do you live in the light that Christ will soon return? He is coming back very soon. He said over there in Romans, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11, I believe, is the first time he mentions it. He said, I come quickly, and behold, that fast that thou art, that no man taketh thy crown. I come quickly. In Revelation 22, verse 7, there's another verse of Scripture that makes a reference about his coming. And it says, behold, I come quickly.
Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and the prophecy of this book. Verse 20 of that same chapter says, and he which testified this thing says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, he will come. What will be of us when he does? Let's pray. As we start this meeting, I would have you to examine your hearts and what he became. Would you be found faithful about the Lord's business of sharing the gospel? Or would you be found unfaithful? Or would you simply be found lost without God? You know, there's a lot of people that are lost right inside a church building, never have met God. It shouldn't be that way. Church buildings were made to preach the gospel. The people that come to them ought to trust Christ. I ask you tonight, who would say, Brother Victor, I'm going to do my best this week to share the gospel. I'm going to do business. I'm going to occupy my time this week to get people under the preaching of the gospel. Would you raise your hand and have me pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. I also know from experience in my own life and experience in being a pastor, I also know that there's times that our hearts can get cold and indifferent, and the cares of this world can preoccupy us where we're not faithful with the gospel. Someone would say tonight, says, Brother Victor, I've not been very faithful in sharing the gospel and being about the Lord's business, but God being my helper, this week I want God to revive that fire in my soul that I may be investing in occupying my time in the gospel. Would you pray? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands everywhere. God bless you. Yes. Who would say tonight, Brother Victor, Brother Victor, I don't know that I'm saved. I just don't know that I'm saved. And I'd like someone to share the gospel with me tonight. I'd like to know that the day I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? That's all I want to do. Would there be anybody like that here tonight? I just don't know that I'm saved. I'd like someone to share the gospel with me tonight. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? Anybody like that here tonight? Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you that we were able to preach and share this message. And Father, I know these people mean business. Father, as I see their hands, as I see their attitude as I preach, I know these people mean business with God. And God, therefore, I know you're going to give us a great revival this week. For Father, you want people to be about the business of sharing the gospel. And Father, we're already thanking you for a good week you're going to give us. And Father, we'd pray that you would open up opportunities for us to share the gospel this week with souls that have not heard the gospel.
Amen.
And Father, we ask you to help us, help those that are cold and indifferent this week, that they may just, Father, catch a new burden and a new vision. Lord, we would ask you tonight, once again, to touch our bodies, to give us health, to permit us to preach every night. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.